first reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 10. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people, to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness, and everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" Commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. You should go out and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel text this week is a continuation from last week's gospel, where Jesus told the disciples that He was the vine, and we are the branches. And what I hoped to ponder last week was how that image was less about our knowledge of God and more about union. Where does faith start? It starts with being connected to God, with desiring God. And so Jesus bids us to abide in him. And one of the ways that is done is through prayer. The branches can ask the vine for anything, and it will be done for you. And there is much comfort in our place in the world in John's image of vine and branch. The discomfort came from the parallel image of the vine dresser, who both removes dead branches and prunes live ones. If the vine and bearing fruit pulls us out of ourselves and towards God, and towards our neighbor as well, that second image, I think, often puts us back on an inward spiral. Am I connected enough to be living? Am I paying close enough attention in prayer to be bearing fruit? But Jesus' words here were not intended to spark fear or concern. He says to his disciples, and this is on the eve of his trial and passion, that he has spoken these things that his joy might be in us, and that our joy might be complete. Which strikes a bit of the same discordant note that the book of Hebrews holds, that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the cross and the shame. And now is seated at the right hand of the Father. Joy, even in the cross, is being in the presence of God, is that union with God, and in fulfilling the purpose for which we were created. Now, it's easy to think about Jesus, the Christ, the One, as having this purpose. This is the central proclamation from the Father through Jesus to us of this passage. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have appointed you to go out and to bear fruit. We can be as sure in our status as living branches as the eternal Son. Jesus has chosen you. The vine has chosen you. While we were sinners, Jesus chose us. The grace and goodness of the Father are meant for us. Everything that is the Father's always belongs to the sons and daughters. And whether we are prodigals returning who don't think we are worthy, or whether we are older sons who have never claimed the joys of the house, it's ours anyway. We are the children of God. We have been chosen, connected to the vine. And the first biggest thing that we have been chosen for is that complete joy of Christ. As the hymn holds, bane and blessing, pain and pleasure, by the cross are sanctified. Peace is there that knows no measure, joys that through all time abide. However hard our personal way of sorrows is, we are walking with Christ toward the Father. We have been redeemed and put into this relationship with God. Our sins have been taken away. And abiding in Christ, we are able to serve God in a freedom that our natural selves never could. And we've been chosen for this. And the vine dresser is not going to let us wither on the vine. That's not his goodness. And if nothing else, we can take joy in the winning. Our captain already sits at the right hand of God. The victory has been won. Christ is risen, and he has given that resurrection to us. So why else have we been chosen? We've been chosen for love. This is my commitment. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. The world, of course, wants us to think that our purpose is to compete with each other. But we've already been given the victory. There are some of us who like to argue and like competition. We might think that it's our job to argue with each other. But again, the resurrection is an end of an argument. He's risen, and he's chosen you. It isn't an argument. It's a proclamation. Now, what we've been chosen for is love. To love our neighbor in such a way that they might get a glimpse of the love of Christ for all creation. Now, in our day, a command to love has often come to mean some silly things. We take love largely to mean getting whatever we momentarily desire, whatever might rub the itch. But the love that Christ means is the love that he demonstrated. He put down his life for his friends. There's no end to commands to love given by people who have never once shown that love to those that they are giving the commandments. But Jesus fulfilled his own commandment. He loved us first. We are to love one another in the same sacrificial way. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, that you hear at almost every wedding, expands on that a bit. Another way, reason that Jesus gives that we have been chosen, and it circles back on the image of the vine and the branch abiding in each other, Jesus called us to be his friends. I no longer call you slaves. I have called you friends. We have been called into this intimacy with God. Jesus says that I have made known to you everything that I heard from my Father. Moses was known as a slave of God, yet he talked to God. Even Paul would employ that slavery image. In the sense that we are under the law, we are slaves. And the purpose of a slave, or if you would like me to soften that, of a servant, is to carry out the Lord's orders. And servants don't need to know why. They just need to do it. And the greatest men of the past have been proud to do so with God. But Jesus has not called us to be his servants. We've been called in the gospel to be his friends. We've been told the mind of God in everything of eternal importance for us right now. And And the biggest one of those is that it has been you that he has chosen. We're no longer strangers or interlopers in the household of God, but we are sons and daughters of the house. We don't have to ask for an audience with the lawgiver. We are invited to ask our dear Father. In being friends, in being told everything, we are also invited to be partners with Christ. We have been given the gospel for our own salvation, but we have also been entrusted with it to share it. And it's here that Jesus elaborates a little bit. I have chosen you. I have appointed you that you should go out. The Apostle Paul would use the word ambassador in this sense. We have not been chosen to hide from the world. We have not been chosen to be magically transported to heaven immediately or to be raptured out of all troubles. We have been chosen to go out. We are to live the life of the children of God before the world. And that should be our daily pattern. We come in to stay connected to the vine, and we go out to bear fruit. I have appointed you that you should go out and bear much fruit. As ambassadors, we are the icons before this world. Or using a crasser term, maybe living advertisements. Our joy, our love, our friendship with God. These are the salt and the light. These are the virtues that should be recognizable fruits of the Christian life. These are a proclamation of the gospel beyond words. They're a living image. Jesus concludes his privileges of being the chosen family of God by returning to prayer. Like Luther's saying that the Christian life is prayer, study, and trial, it always circles back around the prayer. He says, I chose you and I appointed you so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Our prayers, the prayers of the branches connected to the vine, grow out of both our identity as the chosen children of God and from our vocation. Those who are ambassadors, those who have gone out to bear fruit from what we have been appointed to do. And there's a topsy-turviness to the larger phrase. If you read it real closely, Jesus is saying that he has done everything that he has done so that we would ask the Father. The purpose of the passion and the resurrection, of our election and vocation, of our being made a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, is so that we would ask the Father. All things come from the Father. And Christ has asked the Father for us. And he'll not lose a single one. Christ gets what he asked the Father. And out of the joy and love and friendship, we should be asking the Father in the same way. Now we should be cognizant that when Jesus asked the Father for creation, the way that the Father opened up was the cross. The Father's fulfillment of our prayers invite us to abide in him. They invite us into a deeper partnership with his Son, and they probably require that sacrificial love. Like Luther's explanations of the Lord's Prayer, the kingdom of God surely comes by itself without our prayer. But we pray that it would come to us also. We've been chosen and appointed to be a part of that kingdom, to be a part of the royal family. In our prayers, growing out of that election and vocation, are how we receive what we need to carry out the work of the kingdom. Father desires these prayers so that he can answer, so that he can make our joy full.